Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and this is the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. Today is June 2, 2018, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule today to join us for our study. I'm going to call your attention, as I always do, to the chat room. Our chat room is up and running in case you want to make any comments or questions. Ask questions. There you will also find our official website link, a link to our original website and our email and our mailing address. Our official website is located at spiritoftruthministry.net. We also encourage you to go to our, I'm going to go back over there. Is it blank? There we go. I'm going to encourage you to go to our official website and take a look at the Grand Plan, which is a six-part series, and also the posted it a couple of weeks ago, The Two Kingdoms, and that will open your eyes. That writing by Rick has life-changing capability. We would encourage you to get your Bible out right now and be prepared to find the text that we are going to be using today, not because we are using them, but because we want you to prove to yourself that what is being said is coming directly from the words of Jesus Christ and the words of God. Let's have prayer and we'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, you are the author of truth. You have provided for us a chain of evidence whereby we can know for sure, without using any faith, that what you have said is the truth and is applicable for our salvation. Thank you for making this clear to us today. Amen. Boy, that... By the way, good morning, Suzette.
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry, over there. And good morning, Rick. Wow, what a great study before the study. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I still think that maybe someday we need to post some of those, because that these discussions just... They're out of this world, as my mom would say.
Not of this world.
They're not of this world. They are out of this world. One of the things that came up is the fact that the true sources, the sources that follow this chain of evidence, confirm within themselves that Jesus actually said what he said, and that we can rely on that. And we were talking about, you mentioned faith. One of our longtime friends who ran a ministry or runs a ministry is having some physical issues. He I guess now has ALS, and he was saying that it's requiring a lot of faith to get, you know, to function with this. And the more we learn about how to learn the truth, the more we understand that faith gets in the way of that.
When do you need faith?
When you don't know anything. Everybody starts with faith, but you don't stay there.
When do you need faith? When When you don't have the truth.
When you don't have the truth, right.
Well, being a little more generous on the use of the word faith, I think people have so widely used the word faith, they've used it to mean all sorts of things, including the genuine.
Which tells you a lot about faith.
In reality, they mean, could say trust and communicate what they mean by saying trust. They haven't learned the distinction between trust and faith. And faith has become the universal solvent.
That's good. That's a good word.
Yeah, so we have to be a little bit lenient on those that use the word faith and look at the situation more closely to see what they really mean. And it might be more genuine than just making a broad statement would give them credit for. But
there's a statement that has been made by the secret source known as Q or QAnon, who's been posting on 8chan, I believe, and has been outlining what the plan is to take down the cabal. And he will say this he or she or they will say this from at one time or another. When people start to question, well, you said such and such, but I haven't seen it, and it seems like it's going in the opposite direction, da 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 da. And you know what Q says? Trust the plan.
Wow.
What I am telling all of you is trust the plan.
And the planner.
And in this case, the plan is the plan for the restoration of goodness, righteousness, and all of the descriptive words that describe what the world was like before the rebellion, when it was created, what the garden of the paradise of God was like before disobedience. I ask this question to my friends and fellow servants this morning here in the room. Who did the Son of God come here to teach?
I know.
Us.
Us.
Seriously?
Thank you.
Now you might go, wait a minute. He was teaching the whole time he was there, and thousands of people were crowding around to listen to him. Really? Really?
Yeah, we went in on the action.
They were not crowding around him to listen. They wanted to see a miracle.
Yep. They wanted to get healed.
You know, we talked about yesterday before we had to quickly end because we'd run out of time. He had fed both spiritually and physically, and that's what I really, really, really want you to get the differentiation on, mm-hmm. is that he came here to feed spiritual food and physical food, and he uses the physical to explain the spiritual.
Use of metaphor.
He had demonstrated to Now, if there were 7,000 men, not counting women and children, then I would say if each man had an equal woman, either a
wife.
Young adult or a wife, or, you know, anyway, there were easily 14,000 people there. Now, just imagine.
Yeah.
14,000, there were probably more.
Yeah.
On this hillside.
Because they were children.
And they were all there to hear what he had to say.
They were waiting for a show.
They wanted to see a miracle. So, the disciples say, and you know, Jesus is not standing there, okay, watch this. Tell me what you think of this. And he makes the ground tremble.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, watch this. And he calls fire down from heaven, and everybody goes, ooh, ah, do it again, do it again.
Fireworks.
He did not come here to be a showman or a magician. So he takes 5 loaves of bread, and he feeds at least 14,000 people, and then has 12 baskets of bread left, the crumbs, the pieces left, after everyone is full. I'd say that's a pretty good trick, as they would see it, you know, as they'd sit. A sign. Remember, bread, 5 loaves, fed everybody. And there was leftovers. 2 fish. And then, at the end of the day, he's tired. You know, I mean, he's been going all day. He's been going for a long time. I mean, even the days before. And he wants some time alone with his father. Do you blame him? So he goes off by himself. He told his disciples to go on ahead of him to across the lake, and he'd meet them over there. So they did. And then, you know, along the way, he joins them. He's walked across the water. He joins them. He gets into the boat. Immediately, the boat is at the shore. The 14,000 plus crowd of people, most or all of them, have followed around. So they're over there with him. And they say, get here so fast. In John 14:26, we all need to be aware of this verse. I'm going to start reading from verse, let's start with verse 22, but I want you to underline, write down, whatever, John 14:26. But starting now with verse 22, Judas, this is not Judas Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what is all this about? Do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, do you love the Son of God? Do you love the Son of God? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now, what does he mean by that word,
put it in your heart.
When we say keep the commandments, mm-hmm. In what context are we using the word keep?
Learn it, do it, practice it.
Obey.
Yep.
Obey.
Yep.
So he's saying, if anyone loves me, he will obey my word. How can you obey his word if you don't know what he taught? You can say, well, you know, I obey. But Paul says that we're not required to obey the Ten Commandments because no flesh and blood can do that. And that Jesus died to make a way that I could be saved through grace. Grace and obey are antagonistic to each other. Because obey is works. Grace is no works. It's a gift. You know, it's a gift that all I have to do is accept it. But you see, that's not what the Son of God said. He never taught grace. He never said that he had come to free us from the works of the law. That's what Paul says. So the words of Paul are not the words of God. If they were, then the Son of God should have told his people here that there will come another who will give you a teaching that will be the truth post-resurrection, as Paul says. The truth, it's not true now, but it will be after the resurrection. If anyone loves me, he will obey my word. And my Father will love him. And we shall come to him and make our home with him. Now, when he says, make our home with him, what does that bring to mind?
In my words.
Abide, yes. What does that bring to mind? Isn't it in Laodicea where he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears me knocking and will open the door, then I will come in and give him grace. Is that what it says?
Close.
Yeah, Larry. Well, let's take a look at Laodicea in Revelation 3. It is verse 20, starting with verse 20.
3:19 and 20.
Look, I am standing at the door knocking. If any one of you hears me calling and opens the door, I will come in to share his meal side by side with him.
Find it interesting that you're not to open the door at the knock. You are to open the door when you hear the voice. Why is that? Why do you think that would be the case? By the way, does it say there's a peephole in this door that you can look through?
Viewers?
No.
Well, there is another who's knocking on the door.
That's exactly right.
And if you don't recognize his voice,
yeah.
So who would that be?
Which is worse, not recognizing that voice recognizing it and thinking that it's Jesus and opening the door and finding out it's somebody else.
And that has happened with Satan,
yep,
through his words by his most successful apostle, Paul. Back to John chapter 14, verse 24. Those who do not love me, oh my, you know, these are, this is, no, this can't be right. Those who do not love me do not obey my words. Those who do not love me do not obey my words. Whoa.
But all you need is love.
I mean,
come on.
Read here in this letter from our friend.
Wow.
Talking about God's infinite love.
Yeah.
Do you know that infinite love has no conditions placed on it?
Yeah, no limits.
It is not, it's unconditional love.
By the way, I don't know how many of you here in the audience are parents, but one of the problems with the way things are today in the world is because parents were taught that they needed to have unconditional love for their children and put up with all sorts of aberrant behavior,
yeah,
simply because my child, my daughter, my son can't do any wrong.
Yeah, it's grace.
Yes. You give grace to your
grace.
Children. That's unconditional love. Let them go. Let them do whatever. We were talking about that this
mm-hmm.
morning too, weren't we,
yeah.
Suzette?
Yep.
Those who do not love me do not keep my words. And my word is not my own. Remember that. This is, you need to underline that text.
Yeah.
And my word is not my own. It is the word of the one who sent me. I have said these things to you while still with you. Why is that important? Tell me, why is it important that he says this while he's still there with them?
So somebody would hear it and write it down.
And they wouldn't say, well, you're just making
yeah,
this up. How can you be sure this is God's word?
Yeah.
If this was not so important, he would not have said this. Because if what was important was the gospel of grace that was to come, why is he bending over backwards to make sure that his disciples understand that it's his words that he's giving them that it's going to go to the world? Verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, in whose name did Jesus say he came?
His Father.
Came in the name of the Father. And then he said to everybody, well, he said to Nicodemus, John wrote it down, those who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When it says believe in him, it's believe in the name.
Mm-hmm.
When the Father, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you of what I have said.
No.
Some of what I have taught you.
No. All.
Most of it. Some of it.
All of it.
Everything.
Yep.
It will teach you everything. Now, does the Son of God ever lie or stretch the truth?
No.
No. So when he says the Holy Spirit will teach you everything, he means everything that he has taught them. Mm-hmm. And here's you know, here's the bottom line. And remind you of all that I have said to you. Mm-hmm. You of all that I have said to you. Not most, not some, but all. Now, Dennis read this text yesterday, I believe it was. He also read it again this morning before we went on, started our study. And let's go to John 17 and start with verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. How many people does the world mean? Does he mean when he says sent them into the world? Does that mean he sent them to the Jews?
No, it's everyone.
The world.
Yeah.
And this goes along with the parable of the marriage feast or the vineyard, the parable of the vineyard, where he said to the leaders of the Jews, the kingdom of God is taken away from you and will be given to a people who will produce the fruits thereof. Mm-hmm. And then he talks about the invitation to the marriage feast, which is an invitation that goes out to how many people in the world?
All.
The whole world.
Yeah.
Again, this does not accommodate the gospel of grace taught by Paul, who says he got it from God himself. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world, and for their sake, I consecrate myself so that they too may be consecrated in truth. I pray not only for these, but for those also who through their words will believe in me. May they all be one. Father, may they be one in us. As you are in me and I am in you, so that the world may believe it was you who sent me. Now let me give you proof that he was sent by the Father. Yesterday we left off in John 6. And I'm going to, I think, help you see something you probably have never seen. This he was saying to the people, that 14,000 plus multitude who were asking for a sign, another sign, even though feeding them was not enough.
You would have thought feeding them would have been enough.
Walking across the water was not enough. They wanted another sign.
Well, they were hard-headed.
No, basically, they loved the show.
They would believe him if he'd do another sign.
Right.
And by the way, that would keep going.
Do you know what the sign they really wanted to see? And he knew it.
Set up his kingdom?
Yes. Declare himself king. That is what they wanted.
Yeah. They were tired of being enslaved.
Although the doctors of the law told him that they had never been enslaved.
Because they were children of Abraham.
Children of Abraham, right.
So in John 6, we're around verse 27. We'll start there and lead into where I'm going. I tell you most solemnly, you are not looking for me because you have seen the signs, but because you had all the bread you wanted to eat. Mental note, first thing, all the bread you wanted to eat, because he's setting them up for a profound experience. This is much bigger than feeding a multitude of 14,000 plus people with five loaves of bread and two fish. This is much bigger than walking on water. What this is he is opening the door for them to enter the spiritual realm. He's setting the foundation for them to enter the kingdom of God. The only way you can enter the kingdom of God is when you enter the spiritual realm intellectually. Now, you know what the root word of intellectually is?
Intellect.
Intellect. Do not work for food that cannot last. Do not work for food that cannot last. Second step.
Yeah.
Only in the spiritual realm do you have eternal. Mm-hmm. All the food that pertains to the physical realm, you die. You eat it and you die. You need the spiritual food, which is not baked in an oven, which is not cooked on the stove. Spiritual food, as you will see, are the words, the teaching, and only when the words are truth will they bring you into the kingdom of God, period. You get into the kingdom of God, you have eternal life, period. I guarantee it. Now, you can say, I believe in God. I'm in his kingdom. I'm one of his people. And that's fine. But you're not going to have eternal life, because that's what these people were saying. These people were saying the same thing, but they were still locked, because they had locked themselves into a prison of the physical realm. And the devil was bound and determined to keep them there.
We talked earlier a little bit about chain of evidence, and one of the things that has people confused, I think, is that in, at least in America, when it comes to court systems, you are supposedly innocent until proven guilty. In this case, you are guilty until you prove yourself innocent. And the way you do that is by entering the kingdom of heaven, where the sacrifice of Jesus can affect your eternal life. If you're not in the kingdom, his sacrifice cannot affect your eternal life.
Now, you remember I have said many times, and over the last at least 20 years, there are none so blind as those who refuse to see. The devil wants you that way. The devil wants you blind, because once you open your eyes, you're on your way out of his kingdom. So he causes a confidence in his prisoners that keep them firmly and securely locked in his prison.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they think they're already in God's kingdom, then they have no reason to change. These people that the Son of God is talking to are in that condition, obviously. Do not work for food that cannot last, but work for food that endures to eternal life. The kind of food the Son of Man is offering you. Not that he has given you. When he fed them with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, that was not the food he was talking about. He gave that to them. And they ate it and they were full. And he's saying, now I'm telling you, I have food that will not just fill you up in your stomach, but it will fill up your soul. And where is the seat of the soul?
Intellect.
The intellect. I have, you know, if I can do anything, that's what I want you to understand. Your intellect, my intellect, is the repository of knowledge. It is where the confluence of the information is stored. And if what is stored in there are lies, you are stuck in the physical realm, and you will be stuck into the physical realm until you cleanse your intellect. And the only way you can cleanse lies out of your intellect to
believe the truth.
Accept truth.
Believe and
the
accept truth.
The truth comes in and the truth scours out the lies in your intellect. And that's your heart and your mind. The kind of food the Son of Man is offering you, for on him the Father, God himself, has set his seal. Now, the seal of the Father is what? His name, family name. And do you know that for all of those who allow God to cleanse their intellect of all lies and fill it with the truth will have the name of the Father written on their forehead? If you don't believe me, you will find that also in Revelation chapter 3. About the 144,000. It is true that we will be brothers and sisters of the Son of God. We will be sons and daughters of God with the family name. Then he said to them, then they said to him, what must we do if we are to do the works that God wants? Jesus gave them this answer. This is working for God. You must believe in the one he has sent. Now, how hard is that? For some people, for a lot of people, it's impossible. Because believing what Jesus said is dangerous. You have to change. And if you have to change, how then can you think you might be saved? Because you're secure now. You're saved by grace. Are you now? Yes, it's impossible to do the works of God because it requires you to do something that you really don't want to do. You would much rather be saved by grace than by the truth. So they said, what sign will you give to show us that we should believe in you? You know, declare yourself king. Come on, you know, you can read between the lines. What work will you do? Our fathers had manna to eat in the desert. As scripture says, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, think about this for a moment. What are they saying to him? Give us more bread. You know, you gave us bread out there on the hillside. Give us more bread. But this time, make it manna.
Right.
Oh, that would be quite a trick. That would be quite a trick.
And if he gave them manna, that would prove who he was to them.
But see, What is he's already fed them physically. Mm-hmm. What is he now trying to get them to do? Take the spiritual food that he is offering them. Don't you see it?
Yep.
They didn't see it. And I guarantee you, Christians don't see it. This is, you know, you've heard me speak of signature verses.
Mm-hmm.
This is a signature teaching. A signature teaching is a teaching that most, if not all, people have totally and completely missed. And you say, well, how could John put it in here if he didn't get it? Did John get it? Possibly. Possibly. Probably. But at the time, you know, when he wrote this, I think that if he really got it, he would at the end say something. And so we'll see. Jesus answered, I tell you most solemnly, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. Now he's talking about their forefathers. He's talking about the wilderness. And when he says it was not Moses who gave your forefathers the bread from heaven, is he talking about manna? Well, one might think, because manna has been introduced, the people wanted to see manna. And so he says, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. That's why I asked earlier, where did the manna come from?
Out of the ground.
It was on the ground.
On the ground.
However it got there, it was on the ground. It didn't rain manna. Manna didn't come down from the heavens.
Yeah.
Manna came from the earth. It is my Father who gives you the bread from heaven, the true bread, the truth. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So if Moses didn't give them manna, what did Moses give them?
The law.
The law. And what is the law? Yes, the first five books of the Bible. What is the law? The words of God. That's what it is. God gave Moses the words of the law. That is their Bible. What had the scribes done? You know, when I read to you from, was it Jeremiah 8 and 9? Or 18, 8 and 9?
It's 18. It's 8.
8 and 9. That the scribes had turned the words of the law into a lie because they're lying pen. Those who say that God has put special protection on the Bible, so there was no lies in the Bible, and anybody who says there's lies in the Bible is going to hell and calling God a liar. So then they would have to explain to me why God didn't put special protection on the garden to keep the woman from disobeying, and why he didn't put special protection on the law to keep the scribes from changing it into a lie, and to keep that darn devil from planting those poisonous darnel seeds in his field.
By the way, Jesus could have done that. What I'm saying is that could have happened. So the reason that they are there is because they are necessary to be there. See, here...
Because it does preserve the truth.
It does preserve the truth. What is salt used for in cooking? It's used to season. It's also used to preserve. But would you eat salt by itself?
How is it that salt preserves?
Dries it out.
It dries it out. And why do you want to dry it out?
Keep it a long time.
Because the buggies that make the food go bad can't live it without the moisture.
Right.
And the salt also dries them out.
Right.
So that's how. So salt actually works as a...
preservative.
As a poison.
Yes, as a poison.
So to speak. Mm-hmm. Of that which destroys.
Mm-hmm.
So... here's what he's saying. The Father gave Moses the bread of life, which is the words that Moses wrote down that he heard from the Father, the law. The reason that the King of Israel, the Messiah, the Anointed One, took the kingdom away from Israel is because they had rejected the words of God, the law, and they had been mastered by the truth, by the lies. They had been mastered by the lies. Now, why didn't the Father protect Israel from deception of the devil who had given them lies when they had the law? And listen, they were using the law. But they had turned the law into a lie. So those who use the Bible are using it, have turned it into a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yet people say, no, 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 no. God would not allow this ever. Well, if God would never allow it, then how on earth do you explain Israel's failure? And you think that the devil just gives up, well, you know, I've had my play now. I've got Israel so that God took the kingdom away from them. But now I know that my hands are tied. I can't deceive anymore. That's what people would have you believe. You know, if you want to believe a lie, as
well,
though it were the truth.
What they will say, though, and I have had people tell me this directly, that as long as you are a Christian, you cannot be deceived. If you're a Muslim, you're deceived. If you're a, for instance, a Jehovah's Witness, you've been deceived, even though you call yourself a Christian. But if you're a Christian, a mainline, God-fearing Christian, and especially certain types of Christians, you are not deceived. All you are is, you know, all you have to do is believe that dogma, believe that doctrine, and by George, you're in the kingdom.
Well, but you know, if you go to a Muslim and you say, have you been lied to? Do you believe a lie? And they will tell you, absolutely not.
In fact, I'm going to cut your head off for saying that.
You know, you go to a Jew, absolutely not. What they believe is absolute truth has come passed down from Moses. You go to a Buddhist, go to a Hindu, go to a pagan, you go to any one, atheist, agnostic, whatever.
Whatever religion you believe, and by the way, atheism and agnosticism are religions.
And they will tell you that they have absolute proof to prove that what they believe is the truth. So just because you believe and you are certain in your belief that you have the truth does not make it so.
But then you ask them how come they believe that and they say, I believe that by faith. They all use faith.
You remember I said there were two types of expectation.
Mm-hmm.
There is hopeful expectation, which is faith. And there is certain expectation, which is truth. If you have the truth, then what you are expecting, you will experience. If you don't have the truth, then what you are expecting is going to be a rude awakening when the truth comes. Sir, they said, and this is verse 25. Sir, they said, give us that bread. Always. It might be 24. On my Bible, they're right on top of each
Which
other.
Chapter?
Six. John 6. And it's verse 24. Verse 24 and then on. Sir, they said, give us that bread always. Jesus answered, now I want you to know that he's transitioning from speaking literally into giving them spiritual words. Words that once they understand it will be on their way to entering the kingdom.
That was verse 34.
Sorry. Yes, it is 34.
Looking for it. Where to go?
Go cross-eyed or something. I am the bread of life. Okay. Well, okay. All right. I'll give you that. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never thirst. But as I have told you, you can see me, and still you do not believe. You can see me. Physical, mm-hmm. but still you do not believe spiritual. Mm-hmm. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Now he's talking about people. Mm-hmm. All that the Father gives mm-hmm. me will come to me. But how do they come? Because they understand the spiritual context, mm-hmm. the spiritual nature. And whoever comes to me, I shall not turn him away. Because I have come from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. Hear what he's saying is that, and some people say this means he's not God. No, it doesn't mean. It means he's flesh and blood. He has become flesh and blood to show us the way and to show us that flesh and blood can obey. That's why he's doing the will of his Father, which the man and the woman in the garden didn't do. And Paul would have to believe this because they had flesh bodies. Now, the will of him who sent me is that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, and that I should raise it up on the last day. Yes, it is my Father's will that whoever sees the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and that I shall raise him up on the last day. Sees the Son. How can we see the Son? Think about it. Meanwhile, the Jews were complaining to each other about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. Surely this is Jesus, son of Joseph, they said. We know his father and his mother, and how can he say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus said in reply, stop complaining to each other. No one can come to me unless he is drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise him up in the last day. How does the Father draw people to the Son? Not by giving them bread baked in the oven. Not by giving them food that they can eat with their mouth. It is spiritual. It is spiritual. It is spiritual. It is spiritual. And until you can connect with the spiritual words, You will not go anywhere. The Father can't do anything with you.
The word for see there, behold, theorio, Strong's G2334, means to discern. I just wanted to give you that, because we tend, even Jesus, when he was using this, and the word that was remembered by the disciples was not visually see, but spiritually see. That word is spiritual seeing. How about that?
Now, there are two methods where you can incorporate words into your intellect: by seeing it or by hearing it. And what is important is you cannot see if you are blind. If you are blind spiritually, you cannot read words and see their spiritual meaning. If you are deaf spiritually, then you cannot hear the spiritual words. You can hear words, but you cannot grasp their spiritual meaning. When he says here, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God, and to hear. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and anyone who hears my voice and will open the door. To hear the teaching of the Father and learn. There's two things. Hear and learn is to come to me. He doesn't leave. There's no ambiguity. You can't say, well, I think he means this, or I thought he meant that, or da da da. No. To hear him is to learn. To learn is to come to me. The Father is the one drawing you by your learning what he has to say, and you are coming to him. Not that anybody has seen the Father. Notice the spiritual. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who comes from God. He has seen the Father. I tell you most solemnly, everybody who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert and they died. Why did they die? Because they didn't eat the spiritual food, which was the law of Moses, which was the words of God that were given to them. That's why they died in the wilderness. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that a man may eat it and not die. I am the living bread which has come down from heaven. A man who eats this bread will live forever. The bread that I give is my flesh for the life of the world. And then the Jews started arguing with one another. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, we're rapidly running out of time, so I need to go down to verse 43. This is what he says to his disciples. What if you should see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? He's talking to the disciples. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh has nothing to offer. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life.
Wow. Well, we're going to continue this train of thought next week. We hope you will join us next Friday for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus. Please go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and look around. That is a great source. We also encourage you to make use of the downloadable programs on Blog Talk Radio on this website. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now.